Radio.
050 on the radio. This is Leap Day, Monday, February 29th, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. You've got to excuse me, but today I'm feeling good. I know it's still February, but you know it's Leap Day, and the only reason it's not March is because it's Leap Day. And y'all know in March it is all good for the whole month. I don't know if we're going to do 3 shows a week like we did last year, but man, you know how fun I thought it was last year. We could do it again, but we'll see how that rolls along. We might do 3 maybe during championship week, but man, there's so much stuff to get to. But anyway, got a lot of stuff to get over, mostly basketball, pretty much all basketball today. And I want to talk about something that I think has gotten a little bit hidden in sports today. Something minute that I think is, as time has gone along, has gotten less and less popular, but I think it is more and more relevant. But anyway, gotta talk about the NBA on Saturday night first. We'll talk about yesterday's game, but I'm sorry. We gotta talk about Warriors Thunder Saturday night. If it wasn't the best game of the year, as Coach Lemons would say, it wouldn't take long to call roll. Woo! What a game. Golden State comes up, comes back, finds a way to get it done, and Steph Curry, put on a show for the ages. We will talk enough about Steph Curry in just a second. But you gotta wonder about the Thunder. Now they come up here, the Warriors beat them, and the Thunder, they're really good, but they're not able to beat the Warriors. Now this shouldn't discount anything they've done, because for the simple fact that the Spurs haven't beat the Warriors either. So it's not like, and we know what the Warriors did to Cleveland. So when you look at all of the stuff that has gone on here, but you got to wonder, the Thunder, they have not been able to beat the Warriors. They were not able to take care of Cleveland. They're coming up short against a big-time team. And you got to wonder, is Durant to be processed during the off season? You got to wonder now, because we're getting near to the end where everybody starts speculating and such. And, Durant, he had a brilliant night. He had 37 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 13 of 26 from the field, 7 of 11 from three-point land, which would be an unbelievable shooting day if it was any other game except for this one. 4 for 4 from the three-point line. Russell Westbrook, he had 26 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists. But he was off 10 of 29 from the field, 0 for 6 from 3. But Durant had a brilliant game, and it wasn't good enough. Now, let's be real. Durant had a lot to do with that not coming through, because after his three that put the Thunder up by 4 with 12 seconds left. Golden State goes down, scores, hit the steal, get the foul, 2 free throws, overtime. And I don't think that and Durant was the one that fouled Iguodala. So, but does that go into processing of Durant's decision? I have no idea. Yeah, but the Thunder, they're just missing something. They're missing something. I don't know what it is, but they are missing something. To me, it's, I've said it before, they are missing a low post threat. I have said that for years.
Ibaka doesn't work on the low post game. I thought Mitch McGarry would be the guy. He's been injured. I thought Cantor would be the guy. He's been inconsistent. Plus, he plays absolute toady. And thus, you have problems when you look at that team. Their interior play is just non-existent. Everything's from the perimeter, and that works some games, and it doesn't work some games. But meanwhile, enough of that. Talking about the Thunder. Oh, my goodness. Steph Curry. If he didn't win the MVP, if he hadn't already won the MVP, he won it on Saturday night. 46 points. He shot 4 from the field, which is amazing in itself. But look at this. 12 of 16 from 3-point land. 12 of 16 from 3-point land. He was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Somebody called Steph and tell him, look, you got to work on his free throw. I mean, what are we doing here? He had 6 assists. He tied the most 3-pointers in one game with 12. 12 of 16. Unbelievable. Well, he had the most. He broke his own record for the most 3-pointers in a season. He has 24 games left. It is unbelievable what he is doing right now. Now, in terms of the marksmanship, no one has seen anything like this. Again, it clouds a great game by Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson had 32 points, and nobody has even mentioned his name
because of the dramatics of Steph Curry. Oh, by the way, he did sprain his ankle in the fourth quarter. After he sprained his ankle, he proceeded to hit 5 threes after that, including the game winner, which he shot from about 35 feet out. Hit nothing but net. Game over. Go, chest bump everybody on the sidelines, and then do a little dance, and then walk off the court. That's how you do it. Good. Man, it was unbelievable. One, like I said, one of the best games you're going to see. All the Big Thunder fell short. Golden State, 51-5. 51-5. That is great. My gracious. Anyway, the roundup from yesterday. The Washington Wizards, they took out the Cleveland Cavaliers, 113-99. John Wall, he had 21 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists. He shot 8 of 11 from the field. Very efficient. Otto Porter also had 21 points. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Cavaliers, they were led by Kyrie Irving. He had 28 points, 6 rebounds. Iman Shumpert came off the bench. He had 12 points. And Kevin Love also had 12 points. LeBron did not play yesterday. The Hawks, they took out the Hornets, 87-76. Kemp Bazemore, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. A lot of Lakers just gave up on them. That didn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. Now, Al Horford, he had 13 points, 16 rebounds, assists. Paul Millsap also had 13 points. For the Hornets, Marvin Williams led them with 15 points, 9 rebounds. Jeremy Lin had 15 points off the bench. Kemba Walker couldn't get it going. He had 9 points off a 3 of 15 shooting. The Pistons, they took out the Raptors. 114-101. Reggie Jackson. He had 8 assists. Kentavious Caldwell Pope had 15 points, 5 assists for the Raptors. Terrence Ross came off the bench, led the way with 27 points. DeMar DeRozan had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. In Indiana, the Portland Trailblazers, they're getting it done. They beat the Pacers 111-102. Somebody better tell me a point guard playing better than Damian Lillard. Just wait a minute. That does not include Steph Curry. right now, he is on another planet right now. Damian Lillard, 33 points,
5 rebounds, 2 assists. C.J. McCollum at 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Gerald Henderson came off the bench with 19 last night. It was a Heat over the Knicks, 98-81. Wayne Wade, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 3 steals. Don Whiteside, he came off of the bench. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, downs, 2 blocks, 3 steals. What about Joe Johnson? Joe Johnson made debut with the Heat. He had 12 points. The Knicks, they were led by Carmelo Anthony. He had only 9 of 24 shooting, though. And Robin Lopez, he had 14 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 block shots. All right. Right. That was the NBA. Now we're going to talk to college. Yeah, it's the back. The madness is coming. And it's already starting to get madness. You can't believe it. It is already starting to get crazy. Yesterday, you had Seton Hall. They took out Xavier. We're going to talk a little bit more about Seton Hall in a little bit. They took out number 5, Xavier, 90-81. Devi Rodriguez, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Isaiah Whitehead, he's trying to really get first-team All-Big East honor. He's really coming on. Whitehead with 22 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, 2 steals. And then you had Angel Delgado with 17 points and 8 rebounds for Xavier. Trevion Blute with 17 points, 5 rebounds. Miles Davis with 15 points, 5 assists. Over there in Columbus, you had the Ohio State Buckeyes upset Iowa 68-64. As Mark Loving had 25 points and three rebounds. And Kenta Bates, yeah, had 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks. Gotta have them block shots there. Iowa, they were led by Jared Udoff and Mike Gazelle. They both had 16. See that one? I saw them beating Duke. I didn't see them rolling over Duke. 76-62. Mel Artis had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. James Robinson had 14.7 assists. Grayson Allen led the way for Duke. He had 22.3 rebounds. And then you have Brandon Ingram with 17 points. You had Oregon. They took out Washington, 86-73. Elgin Cook had 26.7 rebounds. Right now, going through the last week, my Pac-10 player of the year, Dylan Brooks, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. You also have Andrew Andrews, who is another player of the year candidate with Washington. He had 21.8 assists. DeJounte Murray had 20 points, 2 steals. On Saturday, you had it was going to tire you out on Saturday. Because I'm telling you, they were coming left and right. Great. The big game was Virginia taking out North Carolina, 79-74. Malcolm Brogdon, he might be my ACC player of the year. He had 26 rebounds, 3 assists. Yeah, also had 2 steals. It was efficient on the field. 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3-point land, 5 of 5 from the field. And you also had Carolina, until they get their guards going, it's not going to work for them. I know Joe Barry led them in scoring with 21 points. He also had 5 rebounds. He had 3 steals. Problem is Marcus Page. Now, he was second scoring with 13 points, but again, 4 of 13 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and Bryce Johnson never touched the ball. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Why does he have as many assists as Mark Page? I'm going to leave that alone right now because you're frustrated looking at those type of numbers. How about Brandon Taylor? He had 19 points, 5 steals. He only had 2 shots on the night, 7 of 9 from the field, 4 of 5 straight ball. Of all them, what about Jakob Poeltl? Ooh, keeps on putting them up. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. In Arizona, they were led by Alonzo Trier, a brilliant freshman. 23 points from him. Then you had Ryan Anderson, 11 points, 8 rebounds. Florida State, you know, they are really, really creeping up on people. And no one is paying attention at that. No one is paying attention when it comes to Florida State. They might be out, but if they sneak in, look out. Dwayne Bacon, he led the – oh, I'm sorry. They blew away Notre Dame 77-6. Dwayne Bacon, he led the way with 21 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench, Benji Bell, he had 14 points. Notre Dame, man, they were just put on the head on this one. Demetrius Jackson, he had 13 points. He had Augustine, he had 12 points, 17 rebounds. Not bad, bad. People around here, not happy. University of Maryland, they fell to Purdue, 83-79. Purdue was led by A.J. Hammond, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. And then you have Matthias over there coming up right off the bench, right behind him, 17 points, 4 rebounds, but they shot extremely efficient from the field. Something Maryland cannot say because their leading scorer was Fellow Trimble. Uh-oh, he broke out of his slump, right? 5 rebounds, 3 steals. No, he still shot 4 of 12 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3-point land. It's free throw. She always does. And then you have Diamond Stone, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. That's the deal there. And in Nashville, you had Vanderbilt upsetting Kentucky. Talk about Vanderbilt in a little while. 74-62. Fisher. Then you got Roberson with 16 points and 8 assists. Jamal Murray for the Wildcats. He had 33 points, 9 rebounds. And Euless had 12 points, 6 assists. This, what about that over there in Austin, Texas? The Longhorns. Oklahoma, 76-63. You had, Isaiah Taylor, 18.5 assists. Virgil Lambert had, 14.8 assists. And then Javon Felix, 14 points as well. Buddy Howe, he had 33 points and 6 rebounds, but he only had 1 basket in the last 8 minutes. Imagine what he would have done if he would have kept on his role that he was on early in the game. Woo, he put on a show early on. And Woodard had 15 points and 4 rebounds. All right. Now, got a lot of talk in there. A lot of teams. By the way, tonight, the main course should be Kansas and Texas. You know, we already know Kansas already has a share of the Big 12 championship already. So we already know that. Okay, now got to get to the bubble team. Got to get to it. Got to talk about all these bubble teams. Got to put them all in here. Got so little time, so much to say. In America Athletic Conference. Look, SMU's not going in there. So them tied with the lead with Temple in the conference, irrelevant. But the next 4, maybe the next 5 teams, say, are in it. Temple, Cincinnati, Houston, Tulsa, and Connecticut. I think Memphis has fallen out of the fray. They're 7-9, 16-13 overall, but the rest of the teams, Temple, they're 12-4 in the conference. They're 11-5 in the conference, 21-8 overall. Houston is 11-6 in the conference, 21-8 overall. Tulsa is 11-6 in the conference, 19-10 overall, and Connecticut is 10-6 in the conference, 20-9 overall. NBADD. Woo! You got bubbles all over the place. Yeah, Miami, North Carolina, Virginia, those first three are in. I believe Duke is in. I believe Notre Dame is on the bubble, 9-7, 20-3 overall. Syracuse, 9-7, 19-10 overall. I believe those are the only ones that I don't believe Clemson will make it, 9-7, 16-12 overall. I do not think they'll make it. The Atlantic 10, at large bids in this conference, there should be. Gotta wonder. I think St. Joe's already in. They're 13-3 in the conference, 24-5 overall. I believe BPU is in 13-3 in the conference, 21-8 overall. I believe Dayton is in 12-4 in the conference, 22-6 overall. The bubble would probably be St. Bonaventure and George Washington. St. Bonaventure 12-4 in the conference, 20-7 overall. George Washington 10-6 in the conference, 21-8 overall. In the Big East, Villanova, Xavier, Seton Hall, there is the Creighton. They're 9-7, 18-11 overall. Providence, 8-8. Remember that great start they had? 8-8, 20-9 overall. Butler, 8-8, 19-9 overall. Should I even include Marquette in this conversation? 7-9, 18-11 overall. They get in there. Meanwhile, over in the Big Ten, Indiana, Michigan, Maryland, Iowa, they are in, I believe, Wisconsin is in 11-5, 19-10 overall. Ohio State, 11-6, 19-11 overall. Purdue, 10-6, 7 overall. Michigan, 10-7, 20-10 overall. I believe all of them could very well make Big 12. We know who's in. Kansas, West Virginia, Oklahoma. I believe Baylor is in. I believe Texas is in. Only question, maybe Iowa State. I even think they're in 9-7, 20-9 overall. And stick it with the huge conference all the way to the Pac-12. But here, I know the Mountain West is like, why are you skipping over us? But I believe that the only team that can get an as large might be San Diego State. Who knows? They're present right there. They're Boise State and Nevada. They've had great seasons. I don't think they're going to get there. That's just me personally. The Pac-12, Oregon, Utah, Arizona, and I'm going to say now, California, they're in. I'm going to say Colorado is in. I'm going to say all five of those teams. And on the bubble, you have US 8, 19-10 overall. You have Oregon State, who was reeling just 2 weeks ago. So they get hot. 8-8 overall, 17-10. I mean, 8-8 in the conference, 17-10 overall. Stanford is 8-8. They're 15-12, but they're out. Washington, they just put hard time. 8-9, 16-13 overall. Washington, Chile, they are not seeing anybody in the postseason. Unbelievable. You would have never gotten me to believe that early on. The SEC, you have Texas A&M. Ooh, they're going to be a Red Raider Nation. Texas A&M, Kentucky, South Carolina, and that's it. Those are the only ones I automatically see in. I believe Vanderbilt's knocking on the door. I believe LSU, oh, well, let me go through the records, 10-6 overall, 18-11 overall, 10-6 in the conference, LSU's 10-6 in the conference, 17-12 overall. Then you have Mississippi State and Nate, they're 18-11 overall. Alabama's 17-11 overall. Those are the only at large bid. And let's see here. You also go to the West Coast Conference. I believe St. Mary's and Gonzaga will make it in. And I believe BYU will make it. 13-5 in the conference, 22-9 overall. I believe they make it. And those are the bubble teams. Look here. I got just 2 minutes. It is perfect. Look here. Here. Last night, you had something. You don't even see too often. See someone senior night this year. He got attention because he never shot a pointer this year. Shot all threes. Didn't worry about getting inside the line. He shot all threes. Well, he got attention last night. Well, his dad suffering from cancer. He's ailing, and he says, but get this. I am not missing my son senior night. I don't know how much longer I'll be here, but I am making my son senior night. He comes up. He surprises his son. Big embrace. It's news all over the country. Look here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's stuff that just doesn't get talked about. It. To me, that's the best part of the high school, college experience. Love it in high school. Love it in college. But it doesn't get talked about. Oh, my goodness. Some of the great senior nights. Again, knowing I'm a North Carolina fan, some of the great senior nights that's been made and ruined by North Carolina and Duke on the other team's home court. Remember last year, Duke ran North Carolina off the floor senior night. Yep, don't like that. Well, Duke senior night coming up. We'll see if Carolina can do the same thing to them. But senior night used to be so big. Used to be because players used to play 4 years. It used to be a big old celebration. They used to show it on TV. They used to show the players crying, parents getting flowers, getting hugs, super emotional day. I remember most, Grant Hill, they go up against Carolina. Unbelievable for the first 10 minutes of the game. Carolina still won the game, but he was just so excited that day. Well, Thursday, we will probably be at in the evening time. Stay tuned for our times because it might be about to change. Toodaloo and bye-bye.